We're going to read from the book of Acts and chapter 16. The book of Acts and chapter 16. And we'll read from verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now after he had seen the vision, immediately he sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran straight course to Samothrace, and next day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony, and we were staying in that city for some days. And on the Sabbath day we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed to the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she constrained us. Now it happened, as we went to prayer, that a certain slave girl, possessed with an evil, a spirit of divination, met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation." And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you, in the name of Jesus Christ, to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. And when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive our to receive or observe." Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. And at midnight Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loose. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, and seeing the prison door open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do thy yourself no harm, we are all here." Then they called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. I'm sure the Lord will bless that pretty lengthy reading of the Word of God, but it's a very significant portion in the Word of God for us to consider today. We've read really from a very significant book, the Book of Acts. It comes between the Gospels and the Epistles, and so it ties them together. The writer of the Acts, of course, we want to look at his character and the connections of his writings and a little bit the context of Acts before we come on to our subject today. Now, we think of the writer. The writer was Luke, the Lord's disciple. Luke was, in his secular life, was a doctor. He was a physician. And he was called the beloved physician. He was one who was loved by many. And he was very faithful to God and to the Lord's work. We read in 2 Timothy that Luke is only with me. Demas had forsaken Paul, having loved this present world. So Luke was a very faithful servant, and he supported Paul in his ministry. And of course, it's good when people are faithful as they preach the gospel to others. Now, there's, of course, Luke wrote his gospel, the Gospel of Luke, and of course he wrote this book of Acts. We read at the beginning, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach." So the whole content of Luke was what Jesus did when he was here on earth. But the Acts of the Apostles is what followed, what his disciples did then, all who have done work for God from then on. And of course, these acts are still being performed today. Men and women are still serving the Lord Jesus. And they both cover the same period of time, 33 years. The Lord was on this earth 33 years before he was taken and crucified. And of course, the period written over Acts was 33 years too. But of lo, it continues until today. But the recorded part of Acts was covered the period of 33 years. It revolved around four places. As I said to the children, it started at Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then it has come to the uttermost parts of the earth. And there was a great time of testing. The Christians who preached the gospel in these days were persecuted, and they suffered much for their faith. But of course, it contains the same subject. They both contain the same subject. It's all that Jesus began to do and to teach. And that's what we're here today, to tell you about the Lord Jesus and what he did and what he taught. Of course, Luke is a finished book, but the Acts of the Apostles, as I said, is a continuous book. We see many wonderful characters in the book of Acts. And one of them, of course, is the Apostle Paul, whom we read about today, who went to Philippi. And of course, many churches were established in the book of Acts. There was Philippi, there was Thessalonica, there was Corinth, there was Ephesus. And so churches sprang up in these early days. And of course, their mandate was to preach the gospel. People gladly received the gospel, they were baptized, and then they gathered together as a church to worship and to serve the Lord Jesus. And so it continues today. But they did have much persecution. Now, Paul was a wonderful example of a Christian servant. He was a first century missionary, you would say, and he brought the gospel to Europe. And that's what we're going to look at just shortly, when he brought the gospel to Philippi. That was when the gospel reached Europe. And how thankful we are to Paul that he saw that vision from the man of Macedonia, and he obeyed it, he came over, and of course he grasped the opportunity to come and speak the gospel. Now, Paul had a wonderful conversion on the Damascus Road. Some of us don't have such a traumatic experience, but Paul, you know, was the light from heaven shone, and Paul was arrested there on the Damascus Road. Of course, before that, he had his conviction. The Lord always convicts us before our conversion, and the Holy Spirit convicts men and women of their sin. Remember, he stood at the close of young man Stephen, who has been martyred for his faith. That must have spoken to Paul as he watched that young man being martyred for his faith. And then he saw the scattering of the church under persecution. And then he saw the slaughter of many of the Lord's people, the saints. But then he saw that light, and he heard that voice from heaven, and he was introduced to the Lord Jesus. And so his life was completely changed. And that's what the gospel does. It changes people's lives. And his relation to God, what did we do after he was saved? It says he was praying. He was on his knees praying. And every Christian needs to pray when they come to God, because we need his help and we need his guidance. And his relation to the world, well, he was baptized. He showed to the world that he was now a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was now a follower of him. And then his relation to other Christians, he met with them, he had fellowship with them, and of course that is the divine pattern. And Paul had a desire that men and women should be saved. His desire was that the whole of Israel would be saved, his own people. I wonder, those of us are Christians, it's our desire that men and women of our town and of our generation might be saved. You know, Paul said, I am a debtor. He felt his debt to preach the gospel to every creature. And then he said, I am ready. He was always ready to preach the gospel. Remember, it says he was ready to preach the gospel to them that were at Rome also. But here's another thing about Paul. He was never ashamed of the gospel. He was ashamed of many things. Maybe he was ashamed of some of his fellow Christians. But one thing he was never ashamed of was the gospel, the message, the pure message of the gospel. It was his delight to preach the gospel. And so here he is, he comes to Philippi. And of course, this was his first time there, and he brought this saving message to Philippi. It was the chief city of Macedonia, and of course he had a companion with him, Silas. The early disciples seemed to go out in twos and to preach the gospel. And of course they came to this city. There would be no synagogue in this city, because it wasn't a Jewish city, it was a Gentile city. And of course they took a walk this day down to the riverside as they came to Philippi. And of course they came to this scene where they saw women. And what were they doing? They were praying. And of course, Paul drew near and he had this conversation with Lydia. Now, Lydia was a business lady. She was a seller of purple. And of course, we read that Paul spoke to her. It was obviously at that time she wasn't a Christian. But as we read the story, it says Lydia's heart was opened. And it was opened as Paul spoke to her. Paul would tell her about the Lord Jesus. See, it's not enough to be religious and go to church or to pray. We must open our hearts to the Lord Jesus. We must receive him as our own and personal Saviour. And I'm sure Paul would speak to Lydia. Lydia was a quiet, humble lady. But this is said of her. She was the first believer in Europe to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour. And God dealt graciously with her. You see, God saves ordinary people, just like you and just like me. Lydia, yes, a religious lady, but Jesus came and entered her heart. Lydia listened to the gospel, just as you're listening today. And it could be happen today, if you don't know the Lord Jesus, that he could enter your life and into your heart. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But Lydia attended to the words that Paul spoke. She gave full attention to the gospel message. Perhaps Paul would tell her, as we told the children, that God loved the world and gave his son that she might have eternal life. And he would say to her, if you confess your sin and believe in your heart that God has raised the Lord Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And so he would go on to tell her about how the Lord Jesus suffered on Calvary's cross. And the little verse I like to quote when I think of the sufferings of Christ, it's in 1 Peter, it says, Christ once suffered for our sins, the just one for us the unjust. Why? That he might bring us to God. And this is what happened. He was put to death in the flesh, but he was quickened by the Spirit. See, Christ suffered for our sins. He had no sins of his own. He was perfect. He was spotless. And yet, this spotless Son of God was prepared to take your sin and my sin and bear them on Calvary's cross. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, we sometimes sing, in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. And those of us who are Christians today say, hallelujah, we're singing hallelujah, hallelujah. What a saviour. He came to reconcile us back to God. The little chorus we sometimes sing, reconciled, I'm reconciled. I'm reconciled to God forever. I know he took my sin, away my sin. I know his love will leave me never. Reconciled, I am his child. I know it was for me he smiled. I'm reconciled. I'm reconciled to God. I wonder today, have you been reconciled to God? You know, God is a mediator. He wants to reconcile God and man. He wants to reconcile you with the God in heaven. There is one mediator between God and man, and that is the man, Christ Jesus. And so as Paul spoke to this lady, she gave her heart and life to the Lord Jesus. See, the Lord came to save all. Here was a lady, but then we read of a young maiden, a young girl, who also was liberated from her sin. She was possessed of a demon. And of course, she was used by her masters to make a profit by her future telling of events. And of course she annoyed Paul as she went about and said that they were the servants of the Most High God, because he realised she was a sinner and he realised that she had this demon within her. And so Paul demanded that the spirit leave her. And of course the girl was relieved of this evil spirit. And of course her masters were angry. All their profit and gain had gone because this young fortune teller had been converted. And of course their anger brought Paul and Silas, was taken out on Paul and Silas. They brought them to the market square, and of course they caused a riot. And they caused Paul and Silas saying that they had brought trouble to this city, teaching things that were not lawful for them to hear, and so they caused a riot. And they had a racist charge against them too. It says, them being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And so they caused problems, and Paul and Silas were brought before the magistrates, and of course the outcome was they were put in prison, in the inner prison, and their feet were put fast in the stocks. But you know, when you're a Christian, you can overcome circumstances. And in these circumstances, in that dungeon, in that prison, Paul and Silas sang praises and prayed to God. It was wonderful. Although their circumstances was terrible, they still raised their hearts to heaven and sang praises to God. And of course the prisoners heard them. They heard this and they were amazed. But then God caused an earthquake and the whole earth was shaken and the prison doors were opened. And of course, Paul and Silas were set free. Of course, the prison officer who had been sleeping, the jailer, he wakened up and he realized what had happened. His prisoners would be away. And so he took his sword and he was about to kill himself. But Paul says, "Do thyself no harm. We are all here." And of course, it must have been a traumatic time for that jailer. He had heard Paul and Silas singing these hymns and praying to God. He says, "They must have something that I haven't." And of course he ran out and he says, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul and Silas could bring that lovely message. And we bring it to you today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Friend, today, that's my message to you. Think of Paul, a wonderful servant of the Lord who brought the gospel to Europe. And so the gospel has come right down, and here it is being preached in Paisley in Scotland today, still being preached. And the appeal still goes out. You can be saved today. You can be forgiven of your sins. You can be sure of heaven. And one condition, that you let the Lord Jesus Christ into your life and into your heart, as Lydia did. The Lord can take away your sin. He can cleanse you from your sin. He can give you a peace in your heart. And what a change. That jailer who had scourged and beaten Paul and Silas, what did he do? He took them and he bathed their wounds and took them into his home and gave them a meal. What a wonderful transformation. See, the Lord's business is to change people, and he can change you today. You can come in here without Christ, a sinner, but friend, you can leave this building a Christian, born again, your sins forgiven, and you're on your way to heaven. You can make that change in your life today. As I said, I made that change. I trusted Christ as my Saviour when I was 12 years old. I never regret it. I'm sure you wouldn't regret it today if you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. We trust this little message will speak to your heart. And if you don't know the Saviour, this is your opportunity. This is God's day of salvation. Shall we pray? Father, we enter your presence now in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the message of the gospel. We thank you it is indeed the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Father, we thank you for Christian friends who preach this gospel, who are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is indeed your power to convert men and women, boys and girls. We pray you will bless the message given today and all messages throughout our country, wherever the gospel is preached and Christ is presented as the only Saviour. We pray that men and women, boys and girls, may respond. We thank you for this church here, this assembly, and we pray you will bless it. We thank you for those who have come here. We thank you for these many children who have come in. And we just pray for the salvation of their souls. Now part us with your richest blessing, for we ask it in the Saviour's name. Amen.